I think it's more just about, like, in Skyrim, it's like an open world RPG, so.
William Sturgar, a Carmel High School student and a gamer.
You can go in there and look at all the scenery and look at all the trees and all the what the world has to offer.
Couldn't you just walk outside?
Yeah, you can do that too. But I feel like she wants to experience both worlds, both the virtual and the real one. I feel like you can experience different things that you couldn't be able to experience in your own world. So it's just like a different way of looking at things.
Video games are a huge part of pop culture, especially the violent ones. Usually the more violent it is, the more popular, like Grand Theft Auto and Halo. I'm Thea Nicolau.
And I'm Caroline Heil, and you're listening to I Am. It's really been put into question in the news recently if these violent marketed video games are affecting the developing brains of the average teenager. Donald Trump said video games could have been one of the responsibilities in some of the violence that has happened recently.
Because a lot of bad things are happening to young kids and young minds, and their minds are being formed. And we have to do something about maybe what they're seeing and how they're seeing it. And also video games. I'm hearing more and more people say the level of violence on video games is really shaping young people's thoughts.
I don't think it's like a direct correlation. Like, video games do cause that, like things like shootings, but it can definitely like expedite, you know, move things along.
As a gamer, Will disagrees with Trump. Even though he recognizes that video games can contribute to violence, they're not the sole cause.
I mean, I've played some violent games in the past, but it's never been because like I like violence and it never made me want to go do violent things.
Any incidents of violence, there are a multitude of causes. Family environment, their genetics, personality, cultural impact.
Dr. Tom Hummer, a research professor in the Department of Psychiatry at the School of Medicine at IU, with a focus on adolescent brain development and media use.
So I would hate to say, like, violent video games are causing, you know, school shootings. Because obviously there's lots of people who play violent games and the vast majority don't ever shoot anybody.
In 2007, a study performed by the American Academy of Pediatrics stated that only 10 to 30% of violence could be attributed to the media, supporting Dr. Harmer's point.
While violent video games may not directly affect violence, they do affect teenagers' brains.
So there are areas of the brain that respond to rewards. These areas, almost more primitive regions, they respond to any sort of reward. So, say money, or, you know, they can respond to drugs, they can respond to social support, some sort of social reward, and they can also respond to, you know, an exciting video game. So what people have found is that in people who have these traits that are almost like a video game addiction, they basically have this decreased ability to regulate their behaviors and things like that. And they also have a changed sensitivity in the reward regions where they need more and more of this video game play to sort of satisfy the same level of reward.
The addiction to the video game reward that Dr. Hummer just described is usually what we think of when we hear about a gamer, but that's not the case for everyone.
They probably think, as like a first impression, that I like sit behind a computer all day or like sit in front of the screen all day, but really that's not the case because I enjoy it, but it doesn't consume my life. You could be a gamer and play, you know, sometimes throughout the week, but you can also be a gamer that plays for hours on multiple days. For my little brother, he's pretty much on until dinner time, and then he gets back on after dinner. My parents don't like it. He's just constantly on it, and he doesn't really, like, come out to socialize and all that.
Just like Will's brother, a lot of gamers get so immersed in the virtual world that they forget about their basic health needs,
There have been many instances where gamers who have played for more than 10 hours have formed blood clots or had to be hospitalized for dehydration, which supports studies that say playing excessively could lead to serious health implications.
Both Dr. Hummer and Will recognized that there needs to be a limit.
I feel like everything in moderation is a good thing to live by. Like, you can be a gamer and do it moderately, or you can be a gamer and do it excessively. Just like with really anything.
Make sure that you have the sort of self-management skills to be able to stop yourself when you need to stop and know when too much is too much. Being able to manage those things on your own is the key to healthy use of video games.
Despite the possible health problems, most people are able to find a balance in which they can make gaming a fun and entertaining activity.
I usually use video games as a stress reliever. You know, you can just kind of immerse yourself in a different world or a different place and not have to worry about a test tomorrow or a big paper that's due next week. You can just relax a little bit.
This has been I Am. For more podcasts like this, you can visit whje.com.